Hello，
Hi, Martin.
Hi，
Hello.
Hi，just gonna wait 1 or 2 minutes for others to arrive. All right, I think we should start. Welcome everyone to today's SIG meeting. I have to apologize in advance that I'm feeling a bit under the weather, so I hope it all makes sense what I say today. But I was eager to have the meeting because I have some good at now announcements, I guess. We'll come to that in the second part. I've posted the agenda link in Slack. And here as well. So, in case anybody has other topics, I am more than happy to include them. Just raise your hands or interrupt me whenever you want and add your points. So, the first one on my lists were implementers topics. That's what I called it. We were talking about a couple of bugs in the OA charges last year already. One of them was solved quite quickly. Then there was another one, and I've just seen that Owen has addressed this in a Jira ticket as well. Is that right, Owen? If I seen correctly.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, this looks, I think this is quite a simple problem as well.
Okay.
It's apologies that it's taken me so long to write up that, but I was prompted by your agenda to do a proper investigation, and yeah, it looks like what happens is that when you edit the value and change that button set, it actually ends up submitting both the new value and the existing value mixed together. And it uses the UUID of the existing value, even though it uses the label, the value, the textual value of the updated one. And that means that the first one, the one with the ID, takes precedence, which is the existing one, and so it always stays on the existing one. So the it's something, I think it's because I think that form just needs to make sure it's not submitting the ID field. I don't it shouldn't submit that ID field, I think. Yeah, I've written it up and I'll get the devs to look at it.
That sounds promising then, yeah. For the others, that relates to the discount type in the charges. Choose a percentage or an amount, and then it kind of sticks with that once
Yeah,
you've
yeah.
chosen one or the other.
I think it's an example of something that you only notice when you make a mistake and then have to edit the charge. And so that obviously doesn't happen very often. So maybe most people haven't seen it, but it's obviously a problem. You'd have to delete the charge and then create a new charge to correct that, as a workaround for the moment.
Yeah, it's a solution for the short term. Okay, but thanks, Owen. That sounds very, very good. And the other point I've listed here was actually a message in the, or based on a message in the OA management Slack channel by Lisa. My apologies that I haven't replied there, but all the other answers that I found were already thorough and sufficient. So, but I thought we might add it here as well to keep track of this issue. I'm not sure. Lisa, could you explain to the others maybe what the problem was?
Right. So the problem occurred when we tried to add a new request and then add a person as corresponding author. It was a person with a very common name. And so when you t start typing and the OA app displays the people you could choose from, it only displays the first 10 results. So if both first name and the last name are fairly common, it can happen that the person you're trying to choose isn't a part of the first 10 results. And there's no way to expand the list or use another identifier as such as ORCID or the email address, which you can use when you're trying to search the person in other parts of the app. So yeah, we were unable to select the person using their name. So we've been so far using the workaround that was suggested, the creative workaround. In the Slack channel, we changed the name of the person in the data set for the person to and change it to something we could easily search just to link the person to the request and then change the name back to the actual name. It's a bit of a quick and dirty fix, but since we weren't able to find the person with any part of their name, that's what we've been using.
Thanks. I'm glad that Lucas posted this. That would have been my short-term solution as well. But I think that the discussion afterwards was quite good as well. It might be a good idea to integrate other more unique terms in the search. And I think I would prefer the email that sprung to mind as well. Think Owen, you posted this as well.
Yeah, would email would it also be good to include the DOI there, or is that not going to be used very much?
The ORCID, you mean?
Sorry, the ORCID, yeah.
That could be an idea as well, yeah.
We do use the ORCID, but not all people actually have an ORCID. So the email address is something that should be available for all persons.
Yeah, I think so as well. That should be there in every case, I guess. So this would be my priority as well in terms of a, I think this would be like a feature request, I would say.
Yeah, I'll just I mean, it's a I think this would be a very short, small change. Certainly if it was the main email, that looks to me very simple. I think probably alternate emails. I'm not sure about alternate emails and ORCID, because that would be an identifier, I guess. I'd need to double check that, but certainly adding the main email, it should be very straightforward.
And I think this would be the way to go, I assume.
Okay, I'm just Adding that now, just I don't know when you've used the workaround, don't worry. Yeah, okay. Let me. I'll just create a very brief issue right now so that we have a number.
So, we can keep track of it.
Yeah, so that is, I'll post it into the this is an empty issue right now, but that's the issue that we'll use to track it.
Okay, great. I'll copy that and include it in the agenda. So,
We've also
great.
run into an interesting issue that there are names that just cannot be searched. If the first and last name both start with an umlaut, which can happen in German or with Turkish names, I think the example we ran across was a person with a Turkish name that started with Ö. Both first and last name. I don't know how that issue translates to English. You can't find the person. So they were registered in the people section of the open access app. There was a data set for them, but when you enter first or last name in the search tab, they just don't show up.
I will let me make a note of this.
Right.
So that's an example where you actually have to search using the email or ORCID, just any other identifier, because the name just doesn't work.
And yeah,
That
that sadly that could be.
is it the search doesn't work in when you're adding a request, or it doesn't work in the searching people either?
Both, yeah.
Both. Okay.
That's interesting.
Ah, now this might be okay. So it's possible that the reason for this is I need to find the note on this, but there are multiple ways of writing an umlaut, and I think we have seen before that. So if you search for the, if the data is entered with one version of the umlaut and you search with the other, you won't find it. But if you search for the correct version of the umlaut, you would find it.
That didn't work in that case because we entered them with the umlaut written as O with the two dots above. The other version would be OE,
Ah,
and we
no.
searched with the correct
No.
version and didn't find them.
Okay, there's another issue. That is when you type in an umlaut, there are two ways of encoding O with an umlaut over it in the at the byte level of the encoding of the text going into the computer. So this isn't about writing it as O umlaut or OE, but it's in both cases you as a viewer would see exactly the same character on the screen, but how they are stored is different.
Okay.
So I will what I let me just create a bug, because I may as well. Or names. And did you say it was only when they started with an umlaut that it was an issue?
Yes. If it's somewhere in the middle of the name, it's not an issue. But if both first and last names start with an umlaut.
Okay, could be capitalization as well, I guess.
I can just type an example name into the chat.
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'll do the same. So, okay, so I created a bug for that one.
Yeah, I was wondering, are they these umlaut actually search or are they normalized to the base character? So an ö would become an o.
They should be searched. Yeah, so they are searched correctly. You can find them. So I suspect it's something else like I mean, I'm not sure off the top of my head, but I suspect so if you if I so can I share my screen? Sorry, M Martin,
Yeah.
tell me if we're going on too long.
No problem at all.
So, okay, so we have two people, and if I search for that, that works. So I suspect it's more like this. That works. Don't know.
So you mean the composed Unicode character, not the single code
Yeah,
Unicode character, but the
yeah.
one with the base letter and the
I mean that won't work.
oh, okay.
You have to search with the umlaut. But I'm just trying to remember the other way of creating the umlaut. I'll investigate. That's I'll see if I can recreate, and if I can't, I might reach out to Lisa for some more information. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't fail in all cases. We know that from that example, but I certainly have seen some issues with searching for accessing characters due to the Unicode composition being different, and that might be the case here. It may be something else. I'll do some more testing and see what I can find. Did I paste that bug number into the? Yeah. So UIOA 253.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks indeed, Owen. I put that in the in our notes. Thanks so much. But for now, we should proceed to the second part, which is the integration of our data in the Lists app portfolio. If you remember, I announced that we would work on this at the end of last year, and our IT team has started with integrating first entities into the list app, and you might already test and review lists in the snapshot system. There are actually two entities in there right now, one for the requests themselves and one for parties or the people. And I can show you the lists if you like. I'm going to share my screen. So I hope you can see it. Just get that. Okay, so this is the snapshot, and here's the Lists app. And I'm gonna create a request list. And you will find the two open access lists here right now. One is open access publication request, the other is open access party. Gonna start with the requests. And after choosing it, you can select basically the main request fields that you would like. Let's start with a So it's quite a long list, as a request has a lot of data elements in it. I'm not sure what we could use as a filter right now. Start with this one here, work indexed in DOHA. A no here, I'm not sure. Yeah. So there's one, as in ex as this example, one request with a link to a journal that is not indexed in DOHA. And it reports all the data elements from the request entity. You get a lot of gaps, as not all values are present for every request. But you have the contact, the corresponding author with the institution. You have the request date, a DOI if you get it, the agreement link, the license, the request number, the request type, so basically the data that you will find in the edit form of a request as well. So this is the one that we got so far. And all the lists that you generate with this, you can export them and in a readable tab file. So this is hanging right now. Sorry. In case you've any questions, just interrupt here. Yeah. assume it hangs. The party is just is similar to this. It just exposes all the data that is linked to a person record. So it's not so important to show it right now. It doesn't refresh here, so sorry. Can't show this one. Can I stop?
Does it also display things like the cost data and correspondence?
That is the next topic that we actually have already addressed. And there are several more entities that are not retrievable with this sort of simple entity, request entity. You mentioned the charge. There's also the correspondence, the checklists, the let me think, checklists, publication statuses as well, which are configurable in the settings of the OA app, so there could be more than one status per request, and those are not integrated as well here. There's you won't get any duplicate requests with this single list here. So basically, all the data that's linked with requests in a one-to-many relationship, they are not integrated yet, but there is a commit already to integrate those, and this is in code review right now. So they are ready to be integrated. The people responsible for the list have just have to agree, and then they should be retrievable as well. So those are then also separate lists right now. So you have a correspondence list, then you have a charge list, you have a checklist list. And they would be linked to a request as well, via request ID. So this would be the next question. Then, do we need any more combined complex lists or entities in there? And what are the requests for this as well? Because you have to keep in mind when you start to join those lists together, you will get duplicates, as I said. It's a one-to-many relationship. When you link a request to the status table, you get duplicate rows for every status, basically. Get a request twice with status accepted, for example, and status submitted, and so on. And the same goes for checklists with that, which has more than one definable item. The charge as well, you can have more than one charge per request. So you kind of duplicate this data, and I'm not sure how readable it or unreadable it gets when you combine them in very, very complex joined reports over more than two or three single entities. But if you have any requests or wishes, I'm more than happy to discuss them with our developers and see how we can combine data into a redefined list. It's kind of a static approach, to be honest, with the list app. You have to find reset queries that or generic queries that work for every tenant, so to speak. So you can't really refilter the request based on a specific item value or so, because you just don't know the value one tenant defines in their OOI setting. So this makes it a bit static. And it's probably much easier to get lists via the app and then post aggregate and post filter them with other solutions like Excel. This is what we are using. I mean, right now we are making this reports directly from the database, but it's a similar approach with some pre-filtered and aggregated SQL requests, because we know the IDs of certain statuses. For example, we can include them in the where clause, which you can't do with a list app right now. But then again, afterwards, we combine single entities like a request and a charge and an invoice via Excel and Power Query. So I can make another session if you want to show you our approach, how to link certain lists or tables to make more complex reports. But for the lists app, this might be the best solution to keep this in the sort of separate lists that you can export.
Yeah, I think that's the approach we've been using is I can't even explain it in German probably, but we've talked to our IT team and configured an SQL request, told them all the fields we all the information we need, and it combines data on the publication from the request, the charges, the correspondence, whatever we need, and then we just receive an Excel spreadsheet that we can filter to our needs.
Yeah, and you can create like a similar solution with that lists functionality as well. You start probably with a little more or bigger amount of single tables, and then you combine them afterwards. But I think there are workable solutions to come up with reports this way. But as I said, the mirror import data entities are not yet there. I'm hoping that they will be, or will be shown in the snapshot in the next couple of days. I'll certainly give a message it via Slack when those entities are ready as well. And we'd be very happy if you could have a look at those entities in snapshot. Maybe just try to add a couple of requests yourself, and then test the lists if they come up with reasonable results. And if anything springs up, you just message me what you see as a problem or what we could improve in those lists. Also, in terms of, I think you can choose what columns are visible. They have like a short check, and you can all check or uncheck them, but I think there's predefined lists of column that you get, and we might reduce or enlarge this set if you feel that's necessary. Because as I see, Well, as I saw now in this test report, that you get a quite wide table with a lot of data, and probably not all of this is as useful right away. Because basically, it's just a select all statement, select all the columns that you have in the underlying SQL table. So yeah, I'd be happy for to get your feedback on this when it's all ready. And also, as I said, any more complex reporting needs, I'm more than happy to discuss this with our IT department and see what is possible here. So any other spontaneous thoughts on this? So in case not, through my list, and I don't wanna hold you up for much longer, if it's not needed. As I said, just message me via Slack or email, and I'm more than happy to take up your feedback regarding the list functionality. And maybe in the next session, I will give a more thorough presentation on the entity of all lists that are hopefully there. I think the IT department was quite optimistic to get this integrated in the next folio release as well. And I think there's a freeze in beginning of April, and it would be great if you could have the OA lists in there as well. So thank you very much. And I'm looking forward to see you next time. Then have a good afternoon. And see you then. Bye bye.
Thank
Bye.
you. Bye.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Martin.
Thanks.